Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. Welcome, Stephen Whittington. Stephen is the Chief Product Owner at Core Plus, and many people listening will be very familiar with Core Plus, and absolutely delighted Stephen's able to join the podcast to share up a bit about his business experience, but also to bring us up to date with where Core Plus is, but even better, where Core Plus is going. Stephen, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks, Kathy.
Pleasure. We're both in Melbourne and we have glimpses of blue sky, so that puts a smile on any Melburnian in August.
Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. I can actually see some sunlight coming through the windows.
Oh, vitamin D. We only met by phone a couple of weeks ago and we had a pretty fast-paced conversation about Core Plus, and I really wanted to get you on to find out a little bit more about some of those topics that we touched on. But first of all, I was interested reading your LinkedIn profile. I'd love you to share a little bit about your business background because it's really significant. You haven't just arrived at Core Plus. There's been a real pathway towards it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess I was fortunate early on to have been challenged by a mentor to really lay out a life plan when I was 18, and that led me along lots of various paths, but probably the most relevant to this conversation was in early 2010. I was invited to join a very small psychology group in Melbourne that was looking to grow and franchise, and I was Sydney-based at the time. They'd just opened up their first Sydney practice and were really dealing with the challenges around distance and running multiple practices. So I joined that. We had about 40 psychologists in 8 or 9 locations, and one of the challenges that I initially saw from my background, mostly in business and training, was that connecting patients with psychologists, the right patient, matching them with the right psychologist, was a really I saw it was really akin to playing the drums underwater. It was a really difficult process.
But critical to get right.
Critical to get right. Mm. And because if that people are so brave to make that first step, and if they do, they go through that whole process and there isn't that engagement that with the between the patient and the psychologist at that point in time, then people can really sort of like shrink out of that entire process. So we're looking at ways to make that easier for the team. We had a centralized reception admin team at that stage, and we're looking for products or a way to be able to do that. And that's how I first came across Core Plus from the customer's perspective. And long story short, we were able to grow that business from the 40-odd practitioners and 8 locations to around 700 practitioners and 380 locations.
Wow. Super impressive.
And what was really impressive about that after we onboarded with Core Plus is we had that growth in around about 6 weeks.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, so we went about that and you're thinking, how do we do that? You know, so we went out and did a roadshow. We talked to psychologists about our back-end systems and how easy it was to join. And Core Plus being cloud was all they had to do after that if they wanted to have be referred clients from within our system. All they had to do was really join Core Plus, enable the add-on in the back end. There was no back end infrastructure that our business needed to support, and you could scale in it. And really, that's what the cloud did. And that was a really brave thing to do back in 2010.
Absolutely.
When all the contemporary businesses were saying, like, if you go into the cloud, you'll be out of business in 3 months, you'll lose your data. There was all the scaremongering from the traditional software vendors about losing control. And as a business owner, I was just more concerned with helping people. And the fastest way to help people was to scale exponentially.
Absolutely, and get that reach in those. I guess by doing it that way, you've got a happy team, and you've got happy managers and happy admin, and clients that are probably having their expectations exceeded with the ease of which the back of house stuff is managed. It's not unusual for me to hear about how distressed clients are with complaints and getting their invoices fixed and trying to make payments and
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that was really quite rewarding from my perspective was that attendance at first sessions was generally running at about 20% higher than what we understood the industry standard to be. So people, you know, we got a quarter of more people into that first session, and retention was generally about 20 to 30% higher. And because you could see information in real time, when I first joined the organization, we could get management reporting in about 6 to 8 weeks after the event, after we integrated with Core Plus and some add-on systems, we're able to get reporting down to live within 60 seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say within a couple of hours. Wow, yeah. 6 to 8 weeks, that as a manager is nerve-wracking for me. I got a little sort of goosebumpy reaction when you said that.
I mean, the reminder was back in 2000.
I know.
It was back in 2010, and we were relying on people entering information into spreadsheets and then
printing
putting
things
spreadsheets
off,
together. All of those sort of things. Whereas now we can, we can work straight from the live data with live reporting and dashboards. So, I just think it's been really amazing what can happen. And, I've always been in love with technology, and when I sort of fell into the allied health sector and saw some of the challenges there, I just knew there had to be better ways of doing things. And ultimately, 3 years ago, that resulted in me moving out of the frontline customer mode of Core Plus. And I've been saying for quite a long time, you need people to understand how powerful these products are, cloud products are, talking to your customers. And I initially joined Core Plus as an account manager. And then about a year ago, I've been upping my tech skills and was fortunately moved into the role of chief product owner. So now I actually get to decide what goes into Core Plus, how it looks, how it works, and how it impacts the lives of allied health practitioners in Australia.
Yeah. As I said the other week on the phone, I've heard more about Core Plus in the last 6 months, certainly this year, than I have for a long, long time before. And it seems to have been a little sleepy and is perhaps waking up. And I'd love to hear from you what you've achieved perhaps in the last 6 months or in this last financial year. Where has Core Plus shifted in functionality and support?
Yeah, we've had some really exciting stuff happening. Core Plus has been around since about 2008, 2009. We've had 3 major upgrades in our user interface, and it's no accident that our brand Core Plus relates around core being patient and practice management, a focus on cash flow, online add-ons, referrals, and e-health, and the Plus being that add-on community that we build around ourselves. But in the last 12 months, we've gone through that exercise where we've totally refreshed the user interface. For those technical people out there, sort of material design has come into it. It's a lot flatter screen. We're putting a lot more information on it. We're still going through evolutions of change on that, and I don't think that'll ever stop. We're certainly seeing the transition from users accessing Core Plus from a desktop to more commonly tablets and mobiles, and always struggling with the ever-changing landscape of hardware and operating systems and browsers, et cetera. But in terms of functionality, the new user interface has made a big difference, and things that we've been working on, the big change stuff that we've been working on is automated workflows, particularly around managing referrals, to remove a lot of the unnecessarily notifications and handling of that, but also secure messaging is probably one of the most challenging and complex areas that we've been working on now for the majority of this year.
Let's maybe take the first part of what you said and the workflow automation. I've got an idea of what that means to me, but for a lot of allied health professionals, they would that would be quite a techie concept. What does that look like? Maybe talk us through from the customer's point of view what that would look like, and then I definitely want to talk about the secure messaging.
Yeah, sure. One of the things that, our product is quite mature, so it's been built based on customer needs all the way through. So we work very much on people ask for things and we implement them. And part of my role is looking at how the product got to where it is today and then perhaps polishing. And I think, that one of the terms we're using at the moment is that buff and polish of maybe smoothing out some edges where before you needed three or four clicks or needed to go into two pages to do something. And it's like, well, we're looking at ways in which we can get that done on one page, how we can reduce those clicks. And also just the interfaces are changing now with mobile devices and touchscreen. Things that made sense before with menus and drop-downs don't necessarily make sense today. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to remove those. But in terms of automated workflows, we're looking at things about how do we get, if we get a referral sent to Call Plus, at the moment you're uploading a manual document, you're creating a client record, you're assigning a practitioner to it, you're creating an appointment, and you do that thing for every client or 80% of priorities or 80% of your clients come through and you're doing the same thing, you're raising the same invoice types, then we're looking at ways how we can take all of that into account so you can set up a case flow. So if I add a new client and put them in this group, then create three appointments for them. At the end of the appointment, generate an invoice, submit a claim, do those things. So there's a lot of back-end work to be done so that those things can be joined together. But we're certainly on that journey now.
The practice managers are going to love that.
I hope so.
Yeah. So the secure messaging delivery, SMD, is something that I don't know enough about. And we were talking a little bit about it and how it is the way of the future. Could you give us a 101 on what it is, and then perhaps we'll have a think about the impact it's going to have down the track and that it's something that you've got to have. So what is it basically?
Yeah, look, secure messaging essentially is a secure method of transferring patient records between practitioners. And that's wholly what it's designed for. I think the common misconception is I just want to send my email securely and isn't it the same as that? And, I have to say 2 years ago, I would have had the same misconception about secure messaging. The reality of it and why we've been working on it for now more than 6 months and probably will be continuing to work on it for some time to come and the entire digital landscape's mm-hmm. been working on secure messaging is it's extremely complex. One about security means that knowing absolutely that you're transferring your patient's record from yourself to another accredited practitioner and you know exactly where that information going. You think about it now, GPs refer to Allied Health and often it either comes in the patient arrives with the referral in an envelope or it comes via mail or it even goes via fax is the most common method.
They love today.
Faxes. Faxes come out, they spit out of fax machines and shared reception areas. They
sit there for hours, even days.
Yeah, they sit in, people go through and check the printer and, oh, it's often the fax machine and they read the referrals and all sorts of things.
How does that still happen?
It happens because there really hasn't been an alternative. And we know back in 2009 and 2008 the government got together and mandated for secure messaging and the secure delivery of messages between the health practitioners. And the way they went about it was to say to the private sector vendors, you build a vehicle to ship it between the two practitioners, and as the government, we'll build the rail network to put your vehicles onto so that everybody knows where it's going. We'll have a national register that you can refer to find out those mm-hmm. secure locations. And the vendors went about it and what it resulted in is about 18 SMD vendors, but there's probably three major things. Like all businesses in Australia, there ends up being, two or three predominant
players. Trailblazers.
So we ended up with Argus in Victoria. We ended up with HealthLinks in New South Wales and Medical Objects in Queensland, and they pretty much own each of their respective regional markets and then have some overflow where they've got national clients that start from those bases. And what that effectively means is that back in 2010-11, they started transferring these records predominantly between hospital and GPs, because that's where the funding was provided by the government. I think GPs got, $10,000-$20,000, and then some of the SMB vendors, secure messaging vendors, were, you know, got grants of a few hundred thousand dollars to start kick this process off. And obviously, and unfortunately, not in Allied Health, as is often the case. But they set up these networks. But what it resulted in is like if you're a Telstra customer today with your mobile phone, and you want to SMS somebody. Imagine being able to only SMS Telstra customers, and then if you had a friend who was on Optus, you would have to buy another Optus phone and then SMS them on Optus. That's effectively what happened, because the government didn't build the interconnectivity or the national register or the exchange for all of these messages so that they could be interplayed. And even though they said in 2013, this is when it must happen and professionally you must adhere to this standard, it never really got off the ground anywhere outside of the GPs who were funded
to do so.
Yeah. So,
if we take the example, last week I visited one of my clients and I got the envelope with the mental health plan from the GP. And yesterday, day before, I diligently wrote that letter back after the first session. And here I am. I have it in my hand. It's an envelope. It's got a stamp on it. Mm-hmm. What could that look like in the future?
Yeah, what that can look very much like in the future, and certainly even today within Core Plus, because we implemented some 3 years ago the secure messaging hub, and at that stage the demand was really to receive. So that referral that you receive with your mental health care plan can now be sent to you if you're a Core Plus user via the Argus or the HealthLink network, and you can receive that referral straight into the system. And at the moment, that will enable you to get electronic transfer of that information, and you can add that to your client record.
So the GP would sit there and look at their software and see that I'm set up to receive via Argus, via Core Plus, and very confidently tap out the referral and hit go.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Their workflow, the GP or the referrer's workflow, is to look you up on their directory, on their address book, look just like they would to find out what your addresses were, to write a letter. They would write the same referral letter, and then they would send it via secure messaging, which is from their secure messaging. The way it works is the geolocations. It's really from their practice to your practice, attention to you as a practitioner. So addresses are really rooted in the same as provider numbers are, really around the site at which you're locating.
Yep.
And that way, when the patient says to the GP, I live in, and a very Melbourne-centric here, I say, I live in Essendon. Is there an allied health practitioner in Essendon? They would refer to your Essendon clinic. You may be in Essendon on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You might be in Melbourne on Wednesdays and down the coast, hopefully, on a Friday. So see that. So they would send it to the practice location. Yeah.
And so it goes the other way as well. Rather than digging out the last remaining envelope and stamp, I can send my communications straight back to the GP via Core Plus and Argus.
Yeah, that is the most complex part of it now. So, but definitely being able to send it back. So Core Plus, as I said earlier, for 3 years now, has had the hub, which is quite revolutionary because it's quite costly. As I said earlier on, the GPs had quite significant funding to implement this. Core Plus 3 years ago thought that was a bit unfair and negotiated with the SMB vendors, Argus and HealthLinks, and soon to be Medical Objects, whereas there's no setup costs from SMD with Core Plus. There's no yearly subscription. There's only a cost of $1 per referral received. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, a typical setup for each one of the vendors could run you, you know, in the order of $3,000 to $6,000 per year for the initial setup, and $500 or $600 per practitioner after. All of that doesn't exist within Core Plus. Mm. So sending back would be free as well. So we're just implementing, just putting the finishing touches on that now. So we're going to update the workflow for the receiving first, and that should be out within the next month or so. where a research, where you would get that referral would come in, the attention to yourself. If the client exists in your system and you're the nominated practitioner that's being referred to, we would transfer that document to you and notify you in product that you've just received a referral, so that you can action that and then contact the client from there. And you can write back with your six session review, your acknowledgement of the patient. But the key point of difference is that the communication that goes on within secure messaging is patient centric. It is not you looking up the directory and sending it out to 900 referrers that you haven't had made contact with and letting them know what services you provide. Because part of sending the message is I'm sending it from me to this other practitioner in relation to this client. So if there's no client in the middle of it, it's not the right medium for that messaging and you know, the usual sort of rules around it's not appropriate to send things that way.
Okay. So this is a growing piece of your product. What are the other really interesting and the parts of Core Plus that you're super proud of?
Oh, there's so much of it that we're super proud of.
Pick the top five. Five features and benefits. What do you reckon makes it stand out the most?
Oh, look, I think what stands out about Core Plus is it's anywhere, anytime, accessibility, being cloud-based, you know, all those things about just picking up, working in different locations and working with clients and having access to records. When and where you want it, that's probably the most important thing that comes out of cloud. I mean, Core Plus was the very first cloud practice management software vendor to integrate with Medicare Online. And I think one of the things that people often don't grasp on is that submitting Medicare claims or DVA claims from inside Core Plus, there is no merchant fees, there's no transaction fees. It's an integrated workflow where you raise an invoice, you submit it in the same workflow, it goes off to Medicare DVA, they pay it, money goes in your bank account, we update the invoice so that you know that it's been paid and followed up through. And that's great. There's still always the complexities of dealing with Medicare, though, you know, with they don't pay or if they have error codes. And they are upgrading their system, but it is quite antiquated at the moment. So I'm just dealing with those technical challenges. But Medicare Online is sort of one of the earliest things that we did, and it's still one of the biggest favourites of Allied Health. Once they understand the difference between that or transacting through a terminal where there's merchant fees and other costs.
With your kind of constant build mode with Core Plus and constant engagement with Allied Health professionals, what have you learnt about the business life of Allied Health professionals?
Oh, it's been a real eye-opener transiting from non-health sort of business into the business. The first thing, the first lesson I really learned back in the early days was that working with allied health professionals that are business owners, the most important thing for them is the care of their patients. The thing that they least consider is, will I be profitable enough to continue delivering that care in the future? You know, finding ways or language of sharing with people, like, the best way to help your patients is to be here tomorrow to be able to help them. And in order to do that, some of the hard things are you need to talk about money. You need to compensate yourself for what you do, and you need to be, you know, not shy about charging what the real worth is for that, particularly in private practice. And my experience has really been around working with Allied Health, initially in the mental health sector, but now right across the broad spectrum of mental and physical health. And I guess I see the differences in Allied Health between mental health practitioners who are more emotionally engaged with what their business is, whereas physical health, I see they're more practical, hands-on, and they're just like, tell me what I need to do and I'll get it done. Whereas mental health is like, why should I have to go to this other screen to do that? You know, and being able to work with all those, where people are coming from, and present a product that is right. Because unfortunately, Allied Health, unlike primary health or a specialist, there isn't the size of market to build a product just for one aspect of allied health. And I think if you do, then you start missing out on all the great things that are happening, and you really can't fund a product to be that generalized.
Yeah. I wish for many allied health professionals to invest in their management selves to the same extent that they invest in their clinical selves, because I think their professional lives would be a lot more balanced and joyful to have the management, business, leadership, I'd probably add in there as well, side of it, so that that is somewhat humming along with their architecture and direction. But they rarely does a clinician want to come off the tools, and often very large businesses, the owner will still be doing a day a week, a day a fortnight. And so to really invest in those systems and that management mindset and the tech, hardware and software, tech support to make all of that as light as and effective as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the really interesting things happening in the industry with APRA taking over the responsibility for registration and accreditation is that the industry bodies now, sort of like that's been lifted or taken off them, are really starting to re-engineer themselves as for in terms of training and upskilling. And it's interesting to see some of the industry bodies out there that 3 years ago or 4 years ago had no real assistance for their members in private practice, now actually coming out and saying, well, we're recommending software for you, we're recommending training packages, we're offering those things rather than before just being the regulatory body, which is very difficult for a member, I think, to go to their body and say, oh, look, I'm not sure what I'm doing, I really need help. If they're the same person that's actually deciding whether you're fit to be a practitioner or not, there's a bit of a dichotomy between the business needs and the and supporting them as a practitioner. But I can see the tide turning on that.
Yeah, I would probably add it is for many people moving at a glacial pace, but it is at least moving, and that there is interest and that there is time and resources being allocated to it as the allied health sector is increasingly privatised across all fronts, not just disability, mental health, aged care, so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
So take us on a bit of a imaginative exercise. What do you think the digital health world is going to look like for allied health professionals in the next 5 years?
Look, I think there's going to be a real transformation, and the biggest challenge that allied health are going to face is with the proliferation of secure messaging. We're actually currently part of a working group with the Australian Digital Health Agency, all of the primary health software vendors, hospital and government, and to solve this problem around the national directory so that we can identify who practitioners are. One of the things that's coming out of that, and the RAGP have said, the body for the GPs has said that they will mandate, you know, by the end of 2018, I think it is, to no longer send those referrals by fax. And in doing so, you'll stop to see referrals coming by fax and by paper and patients delivering it. And they will ultimately only come via a secure methodology through secure messaging. So you need to be on those networks so that you can receive those referrals, because it will be a little bit like the days of VHS and DVD, where you turn up and there's just no more VHS on the shelves. Well, allied health practitioners that have been around, that have got an established referral network, are fairly used to those referrals coming in every month, and you've got that cycle of people on, you work with them, and then new people come on and you work with them. I fear that many allied health practitioners will wake up sometime over the next 24 months and go, there's no new patients in my, or no new clients in my diary next month, what's going on there? And then contact their referral sources, only to find out that someone in their administration team has said, you know what, we're actually only sending out referrals electronically, and we couldn't find your address, so we just send it to another practitioner who's on our directory.
And in case we're audited, we need to be using this technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And but you know, I know, because I go to the GP workshops and seminars, and I speak to their practitioners and practice managers, and they just simply say, you know, the cost of us sending it out by letter is we really just look, if the GP doesn't expressly say it's got to go to this person, we'll just send it to another one. Because what a lot of people don't realise is some of the referrals are interchangeable. You know, as long as you've got a referral, you can take it to another practitioner. And in some cases, and it's you know, rubs the wrong way with me, but practice management or admin staff in these clinics are just actually diverting the referrals.
Yeah, I heard you say that. I hadn't heard that so much before, but I picked that up. Gosh. Mm.
Yeah, so
gosh,
they're just saying, look, you know, in these large super clinics, they're just going, the cost of sending a letter is $5. I can send it by secure messaging. I'll do it now. And then they go back and tell the doctor, you shouldn't be sending your referral to this person. You should be sending it to that one.
Whoa.
And it's totally not clinical. Totally. But I've heard it. It's controversial, I know, but I've definitely heard it coming back from them. So it's make yourself, and my message out of that is make yourself easily available. Go to them and say, here's my physical address, my email, my SMS, my phone, whatever it is, and these are my secure messaging contacts well. So get yourself on those registers because that's the biggest thing that's inhibiting secure messaging, because now to get yourself registered on the National Directory can take up to 3 months. So recently, there's actually a change in legislation, and this is where I see the speed at which the ADHA is moving at the moment. Is they've just passed some legislation, I think have just passed or just about to pass, where the messaging vendors themselves can actually create now the certificates of that basically tells us where to send the messages, whereas before they had to get that from the government. So when you sort of said, I want to join this network, they would go to the government and say, well, give me the equivalent of your provider number so that I can send it, route this message. And that was taking 3 months, whereas the vendors have just gotten permission to issue their own certificates so that they can qualify who you are, issue a certificate. I think there's a 2 years stay while, and then the government goes back and looks at its system so it can match that in that time frame. But this is really sort of like back end techie stuff that has been insignificant
until
from
now.
Practitioner point of view until now, but these changes will enable us to actually start transferring these messages. And I guess the key point in it and why there's so much security around it is that the conception is that you receive at the moment a one page mental health care plan referral that comes to you. But you need to think about secure messaging, particularly the type of message we're sending, which is a referral message, a little bit like a babushka doll, you know, those Russian dolls that have nested inside, because it has the ability, depending on the sending system and the receiving system, to be a complete transfer of care of the patient from one practitioner to another. So not only does it have the ability to receive just that referral, but inside one message, which is quite fascinating for me, maybe some others as well.
I'm glad you're enjoying this, Stephen. Yeah, all our behalves.
You can actually transfer the all of the other treating physicians are related to that, and all their contact details, the patient's history, all of their allergies, actually every appointment that they've attended, their financial state, their contact information, the referral information, the type of referral that you're sending, or whether it's for a test or for a result or for an observation. There's many hundreds, if not thousands, of parts inside that message that transfers both as atomic data and also as a document or a written document in there. So just understanding how powerful that is as opposed to a single page is fascinating.
Yeah. I think you're talking about the e-health records that many Australians have signed up for, and probably we all have, and all of us manage them differently, and all the privacy settings that we can set within those records in terms of what's released where. How will the e-health record progress and impact on allied health professionals in the next few years?
Well, that's a really interesting point. The what I was referring to before was actually just within each single secure message sent, which is quite separate from the My Health record.
The My Health, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, so My Health record replaces PICA, or the Personal Electronic Health Record, that also had a false start previously under the previous administration, under NETA, but which has now become the Australian Digital Health Agency. So My Health record is fascinating because And I've been following the ADHA around on these allied health roadshows and listening to some of the things that the Australian Allied Health Practitioners Association webinars they're running. And My Health Record is a big change in tack for them because it's recently switched from opt-in to an opt-out.
Mm.
So that the trial that they ran on that was successful. So the legislation's been changed from that. So everybody will have one now. You'll have to tell them that you don't want it. But what it will enable to do is that you can ask your health practitioner to upload your health records to that centralized My Health Record. So and then make it available. And as a private citizen, you can then control who can access what within that record. So from a practitioner's standpoint, that the continuum of care really really starts to come to play where you're no longer really dependent just on information being gathered solely from the patients themselves. You can, with their permission, have access to
whatever's up
records,
there.
Yep. Whatever is up there, and that might be hospital discharge, GP records. You might see as a mental health practitioner that they've been to 12 different mental health practitioners in the last 3 months or 4 months or 12 months, which might give you a sense of
something
that's deeper that's going on that might take, you know, 6-7 sessions to get to normally. But if they give you that permission and you're like, oh, I can use that information to ask questions and be better informed about how I might provide treatment. Yeah.
So I'm not really hearing at the moment that allied health professionals are engaging with My Health Record, but I suspect in years to come we both will more so.
Yeah, I definitely will. In the recent budget, the government's announced $5.5 billion being poured into health over the next 5 years. And I guess one of the things that's really interesting about how they're tackling the My Health Record proliferation is traditionally, as I said earlier on, they would go out and fund health practitioners to talk to their patients. Well, government's not doing that this time. What they've said quite blatantly is that next year they'll be spending millions of dollars going out and talking directly to the Australian health public and saying to them, this, if you want the best possible care, then this is one way that we think you can get it by having all your information centralised. So why don't you ask your health practitioner, is this treatment that I'm going through today going to be uploaded to My Health Record? And if not, why not? So allied health practitioners are going to start to get asked this, and it may be, you know, with the Gen Y, Gen X's, it may be something where they choose a practitioner based on, I don't want to have to remember all this stuff. I'm just going to put it in My Health Record. And if you can't do that for me, well, I might just have to choose someone else. And, you know, it's not always the best end of care if people are choosing it by what access they have to their health records rather
but
than
it will
treatment.
Be a driver for some.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Mm. Goodness. Well, we can't let this conversation go by without acknowledging the NDIS elephant in the room. when can anyone anywhere expect their practice management software to talk to the NDIS in some effective form?
I think the challenge in that is that we're really willing and able to talk, but there's nothing to talk to in terms of tech. There really isn't a back end. In Medicare at the moment, we can connect in various ways to Medicare online using magical APIs, application protocol interfaces where we can electronically send information in, they can process it and send it back. You know, from what I understand at the moment, the most complex thing we can do with NDIS is upload a spreadsheet that they'll work with. They just haven't got the back end sophistication yet for us to invest in building anything for it. So part of the challenge for us is getting ready, but like all things technology, if we get ready based on what they've told us today, we'll have to probably redo it again and again and again before it actually is something useful. So I guess, you know, from CorePlus's perspective, we can record a lot of information. We're eagerly waiting for the NDIS to come back with something tangible and concrete for us to work with, but we could easily blow through millions of dollars achieving nothing in the meantime, and that's just not. We'd rather put our money where, you know, listening to what our users are telling us that they need, and right now it's secure messaging, My Health Record, and other e-health compliant things. And we've got, you know, one eye always on the NDIS platform waiting for something to work with.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, because that could be quite a game changer to have all that integrated. That, yes, I know many business owners will sleep well at night when that is sorted, because it's incredibly time consuming and complicated, and big sums of money are involved, and it's just literally a matching process sometimes at the moment, I think.
Yeah, and I think some of the same challenges that I faced 7 years ago is really about understanding where the funding is, what's available now, and in having that information in real time. It's just complex. They shifted the landscape in that sector. That whole sector was slow to understand that change was coming. The change did come. It caught some people by surprise, and then the government really hasn't caught up with it. I know that they're working hard on it, and I've certainly seen over the last 8 years that the speed at which things take to happen at a government level. And, now that we're finally dealing with stuff like secure messaging, which is 9 years old, I shudder to think how long it'll be before we can deal with stuff like NDIS, which is more recent.
Yeah. And as you say, it's probably not worth quite dealing with yet until there's a little more maturity. And hopefully, I'm sitting here literally with my fingers crossed, you get that integration right the first time.
Yeah, I think, look, and that's absolutely right. I was quite pleased. I was at a podiatry conference a few weeks back and actually spoke just after an NDIS auditor who was going around with practitioners looking at clinical systems. And I know that we did get a tick of, look, you can find all the stuff that you need to satisfy your accreditation with NDIS inside Core Plus in terms of event records and stuff. But, I know that we can certainly make that a lot easier, but we just need to get something concrete from them in terms to locking it in so that we can produce those type of reporting that you need.
Yeah. All righty. I'm watching the minutes tick past. What else would you like listeners to know about Core Plus now and Core Plus next year? What's on the go?
Look, I think, one of the most important things about Core Plus now and next year is that we are Australian-based and we're really we're here in Melbourne with our development team and our customer success team. And we are 100% focused on allied health practitioners in Australia. We don't have a market outside of this country. We're not looking at GPs or specialists or anybody else other than allied health. So, that's our first and primary focus is on how we can provide practice management software solutions for allied health. And I guess the way in which I do that is through the ideas portal that we have. So any user or anybody can post what they'd like to see in Core Plus, and that's something that that I monitor daily and respond to and ask questions about how people would like things to happen. But, secure messaging. So we'll have that medical objects integrated and receiving and sending by the end of this year. Initially, you'll need to get your addresses from your health practitioners until this national directory is in place, and they expect that to be March next year. And then we'll do a live integration with that, which will help connect you up to about 110,000 or 120,000 referrers or health practitioners within that network. So. That's becoming My Health Record, next cab off the rank, in terms of that integration, so that we can send up summaries and access information directly from within the product. So they're just sorting out some of the connectivity for that at the moment, and then there's workflows and just being more centric around what users need.
Yeah, are you also doing some more work on the business management dashboards and reporting? Did I just dream that?
Yeah, look, no, we're certainly doing that. One of the things that is coming out shortly, and hopefully it's something that nobody will notice, is the front end, the report, the way we're doing our reporting with the client list will change, which will ultimately the technology we're using there will allow users to generate reports and save certain types of reports in there and increase that suite. But I know it's something we've certainly got an opportunity to improve. It's sort of a double-edged sword because of the breadth of allied health that we service. What we've got at the moment is certainly a stable of very everyday reporting that's needed across the breadth of all allied health. When it starts to get specialised, It's a little bit more difficult to do. So we're seeing ways to do that either within the product or by using add-on products to be able to customize those dashboards for you. So, yeah, certainly watch this space over the next 12 months.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the update. And I guess what we all need to be thinking about is the secure messaging delivery and how we're going to need to be in that space, understanding my health records even more thoroughly as citizens and also as service providers, and potentially kind of keeping an ear to the Australian Digital Health Agency and also your good selves and the content you put out that's so contemporary as well. So thank you for sharing all of that up. I'd love to have you back as a guest next year to kind of check in terms of where it's up to now. So maybe we'll be able to hear the latest across 2018.
Yeah, look, that'd be fantastic, and I'd welcome the opportunity to come back with an update. And I really appreciate the opportunity to have a chat today about digital health, particularly from an allied health perspective. It's an amazing platform that you've got, and hopefully your listeners will spark something in there, even if it's just one thing to start thinking about in terms of their day-to-day activities.
Yeah. Give a shout out to the website so if they're listening they can multitask and go find you.
Yeah, absolutely. The best thing to do is go to www.coreplus.com.au. From there you can start a free trial. No cost whatsoever. Subscription starts from $5 a month for our basic plan. Mm. And then you can grow on that platform. But from that one you can also see you can go jump straight into the product from there if you're not already a user, or you can go to our ideas.coreplus.com.au and have a look at things that people are asking for and perhaps suggest things yourself. I'd love to hear from you.
Lovely, lovely. Thanks a lot.
Fantastic.
Bye. Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it, nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.